It is time now to see what other stories are heating up the internet. We've got today's Bloggers Roundtable. Win, lose, or draw. The bloggers get the chance to weigh in on last night's presidential debate, plus the so-called Bradley effect. Is it real, and could it impact the presidential election? With us, we've got the self-described vigilante pundit Baratunde Thurston. He's a blogger for sites including the Huffington Post and also writes for Jack and Jill Politics under the pseudonym Jack Turner. Lenny McAllister, a political contributor for the website Fox News Rising. He also blogs at Hip Hop Republican, The Root, and AOL Black Voices. Plus Felicia Harvey, editor of Black Politics on the Web. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
So we've had two debates so far, one to go. The presidential contenders John McCain and Barack Obama met in Nashville. And we heard earlier in the show that the town hall debate was moderated by Tom Brokaw. The questions came from voters. I'm going to start with you, Lenny. What stood out to you in terms of something that really was informational for someone who wanted to learn more about politics? Wasn't just windbagging, but what point do you think came across from either candidate that was useful information?
I think the number one thing that stuck out to everybody was the plan that John McCain is trying to put forth in regards to homeowners, where the Treasury Secretary, the proposal is for the Treasury Secretary to buy these bad mortgages in an attempt to stabilize the housing market. That was something that caught everybody off guard, and it made news. Now, as to whether it would play out and really work or not will have to be seen, and I know that Mitt Romney made some comments on it last night on Fox News, and there will be more information coming from that. That was probably the number one big piece of meat, if you will, for folks to chew on. But the other thing that was there that was less about policy and more about substance as far as the candidates are concerned and image was just, once again, how Barack Obama contrasts with John McCain and how John McCain is not measuring up to looking presidential when those two are sitting side by side, despite the fact that he's been in the Senate for almost 30 years.
Felicia, what do you think about the idea that attitudes and physical stature? I mean, people have said for a long time that tall guys have it easier when running for the White House. Statistically, that's proven to be true. Do you think that Senator McCain is not looking presidential when he stands next to Senator Obama, as Lenny just said?
I would agree with that 100%. I don't think he's coming off as looking presidential. Last night, at times, he was coming off as being snarky, and Senator Obama kind of gave a cool, calm, and collected presence for most of the debate. And as you mentioned before, it is important. We do like to see our leaders, we like to see them composed. We like to feel like, you know, they're in control and that we're okay. And at times, I think Senator McCain does struggle with putting forth a presidential air and not so much of just an angry old man air.
Baratunde, you know, sometimes it's hard to parse out where you should focus just on policy or where you talk about rhetoric. But there's something that Senator McCain said last night that has some people upset. Let's take a listen.
You know who voted for it? Might never know. That one. You know who voted against it? Me. I have fought time after time against these pork barrel, these bills that come to the floor, and they have all kinds of goodies and all kinds of things in them for everybody, and they buy off the votes.
There was a phrase in there, that one, referring to Senator Obama. Some people took it as just debaters debating. Some people took it as dismissive but not racial. Some people took it as dismissive and racial. What did you think, Baratunde?
Well, first of all, I plan to vote for that one. I think that one has a better plan to lead this country in our great time of need right now. I didn't take it as racial. I took it as a consistent dismissal and really annoyance factor that McCain seems to project with regard to Senator Obama. The last debate, he would barely look at him or refer to him by name at all, and that doesn't look presidential. McCain is very fond of talking about all the things that he might do and even that he may have done. He says fixing Social Security will be easy. Well, if it's so easy, I'm not sure why he hasn't done it since 26 years up there or more on Capitol Hill. As far as what Lenny brought up with the homeowners plan, I just want to update that information a little bit. It wasn't a new proposal by John McCain. In fact, Senator Obama and many other senators had proposed something, that exact plan, a bit earlier. So I don't know that he could really take credit for introducing that into the realm.
Lenny, any response?
Well, number one, the two parts. The first part of what Baratunde brought up was it's John McCain's grittiness would come across better if this were a football game. you can have that little bit of adversarial nature towards your opponent. But when you're having a presidential debate, people not only are longing for a change as far as how we do things, but they're looking for statesmen again. And that's one of Barack Obama's big appeals, that he can come across as a statesman. And people are looking for pride in their politicians right now, as well as policies that work. And when John McCain does those type of actions, it further contrasts the image of Barack Obama being a great statesman and John McCain not being as good of a statesman. Now, when it comes back to the plan, this was something that Senator McCain had said for the first time himself in this debate. It was something that people weren't expecting, but it was a move that Senator McCain needed to make in order to appeal to the middle class, because it was true during the first presidential debate, he did not speak directly to the middle class. So this was something that, although the plan may have been out there in various forms previously, it was something that the McCain-Palin ticket had to put out into the atmosphere and put into the discussion in order to talk directly to the middle class and hope to try to get some of those voters back on their side.
All right, let's move on to go ahead.
I'd like to chime in on that one comment really quickly. I thought it was absolutely disrespectful, and to me it was almost along the lines of calling someone boy or saying you people, and it showed kind of desperation to me on Senator McCain's part. It was a situation where you're down in the polls, you don't know what to do, you're lashing out, and you're losing composure, and that's not a good look for anybody looking to be the chief executive of the country.
All right. Let me just move along, because I think this will tie together with what you guys are just talking about. I want to bring race in more explicitly. And there's something called the Bradley effect. It's a tendency among white voters to not show as strong a support at the polls for a black candidate as they do when they are being polled before the election. It's named after former black mayor Tom Bradley, who was leading in the polls for California governor before the election but lost the race. Other people whose names come up, Charlotte Mayor Harvey Gantt, who was running against Jesse Helms, Doug Wilder. People think that the Bradley effect is something that is real, but not everyone. Felicia, what do you think?
I think it's real. I do think it's real. And I think that after the 2000 elections, we're going to see any number of academic papers and studies looking at how it will have impacted this race. It's hard to say now. I think where it's going to play out the most will be in some of the states where it's going to be really, really close. And you'll have that percentage. It's just going to be so hard to tell right now how much of an effect it's going to have. But just judging by the various comments that have been made at the rallies lately with the racial tones, the feeling that a lot of people have that the McCain camp, unfortunately, is kind of taking the tack of attacking character and trying to appeal to the, I guess, some of the more base opinions of people. It's going to all play out. It's just a matter of to what degree it will play out.
There's also a New York Times columnist, Nicholas Kristof, who wrote that Senator Obama is facing what some people call racism without the racist. Most of the votes Obama could lose are not those of racists, he says. Rather, quote, well-meaning whites who believe in racial equality and have no objection to electing a black person as president, yet who discriminate unconsciously. And it goes on from there. Baratunde, what do you make of that thesis?
Well, I think, one, Obama's not a generic black person. And what was brought up in Kristof's article by the psychologist Phil Goff was that people, you know, on an individual level, have a much clearer and more fair perspective than at these general subconscious attitudes. So the Bradley effect specifically may not play a stronger role now as it had before, because Obama isn't Bradley, he isn't Doug Wilder, we're in a different time, and he's got a ground game and a registration of voters which can really offset a lot of that. He competed in 31 states in the Democratic primary, and he outperformed all those polls. And if someone was going to lie about their racism, it might be more likely to be a Democratic voter than a Republican. Finally, back to what Felicia said, what concerns me much more than this Bradley effect is this appeal to fear, to vilification, to otherness that Palin and McCain are amping up in these really hate-filled rallies. When you can have somebody yell out, kill him, at a rally and nothing's done and the politician doesn't stop and say that's not the kind of country we live in, when you directly associate your opponent with terrorism, and we know what this country does to so-called terrorists, that is unacceptable, and it's not leadership, and it's wrong.
Lenny, do you think that Governor Palin or Senator McCain should have acted more strongly when there were indications that their supporters may have crossed a line in calling Senator Obama a terrorist, or there was also a racial incident that we spoke about where a news sound man was called a racial epithet at a Palin rally. Is it the responsibility of the McCain campaign to deal with some of this?
Their leaders, yes. And I don't know what else to really say about that. It's extremely disappointing to hear that, you know, one of our candidates, be it on either side of the ticket, would hear a comment like that and not just shut it down for a second and say, okay, look, time out. We're Americans, and we're living in 2008 where we have an opportunity where the oldest candidate ever to run for a first term in the presidency, a female vice president for the first time ever on a GOP ticket, and an African-American gentleman for the first time to garner a major party nomination are all running within the same election cycle. That should have been addressed, and it is unfortunate when that doesn't happen. And I think that, unfortunately, it also speaks to the larger problem that the GOP has, which is racial sensitivity. There are things that they overlook that I don't think it's because they're racist. I think they're just ignorant to what the new realities of race and gender are in the 21st century. And unfortunately, for Republicans nationally, they're going to learn a hard lesson by way of the polls in November.
I have to throw in one last issue that we didn't get to on Monday, which is O.J. Simpson. And I bring this case up simply because this has been a Rorschach test of race in America. This was, he was convicted on several counts over the weekend. Here's one juror speaking out about what she sees as stereotypes about the jury.
Just from watching the media, we've been painted as an all-white jury that hates O.J., and that's just not true. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Felicia, do you think that this, as we are talking about how people's attitudes play out, that this case and this man is this a situation where people will always be divided on whether justice was served, or is this a case where you think blacks and whites agree justice was served through his convictions?
I think that people will be divided, but to be perfectly blunt and honest, I think most people just want OJ to go away. Just really to go away. I think in going through all that he went through with that first trial, to me, whether he was innocent, guilty, whatever, I would be behaving like a choir boy. You would never catch me. You would never have the suspicion of me doing anything. So whether or not this jury did kind of convict him on the preconceived notion that he was guilty before and he shouldn't get off this time, we'll never know the answer to that. But to me, the bigger issue is, I don't want to say why do we care about OJ, because it is an important issue, but there's so many other things that are going on that are much more important than OJ.
All right.
I put him in that same listing with Britney Spears.
Okay. Well, on that note, we got to wrap it up, so I didn't get much time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Felicia Harvey, editor of Black Politics on the Web. She was at member station WUSF in Tampa, Florida. Baratunde Thurston, who blogs at the Huffington Post and Jack and Jill Politics, was at NPR's New York studios. And political analyst Lenny McAllister, he blogs for several sites including Hip Hop Republican, The Root, and AOL Black Voices. He was at member station WDAV in Davidson, North Carolina. And you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org.